Are you happy to be here?
Yes.
All right. I want to share with us what I've titled The Inside Job. The Inside Job. Can we go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4? And for the sake of today's message, I'm going to be ministering from the New Living Translation. That's the literal translation I really enjoy using. All right. In the King James, the Bible says there, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, right? But in the New Living Translation, it says, always be full of joy in the Lord. Always, not sometimes, always be full of joy in the Lord. It didn't say just have the joy of the Lord sometimes, as much as you can. No, it says always be full. Be full. Not half full. Full of joy in the Lord. And he said again, I say it again. Rejoice. That word rejoice there is the same Greek word as be full of joy. Full of joy, right? So you can say, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, be full of joy. When somebody comes to you with such an instruction, you know that this is serious. If they have to repeat themselves, I'm very sure Apostle Paul, like an African, would have been holding his ear. See, what did I say? Always be full of joy. In other words, it's very important. This church here, they are what you might call a model church. This is the same church where they opened a bank account for Apostle Paul. You know, without him asking or anything, and we're, you know, paying in money and supporting his ministry. And in this same chapter, that is where the Bible talks about, you know, and my God shall supply your needs according to your riches and glory, right? So in other words, these are people who are actually walking by faith, doing the work of God, you know, and all of the other things we know to do as Christians. But he took the time to make sure they understood that, yes, you are doing all of this, but you must be full of joy. So it is possible that you can be doing everything and not be full of joy. Can we agree that that's what he's saying here? Because if he took the time to tell them, be full of joy, it means that you can actually be doing the work. Somebody said something to me many years ago. I think it was like the late 90s, thereabout. He said, this young woman, you know, we're going to minister somewhere. And she, you know, in conversation, she said, a lot of people are working, W-O-R-K, for God, but they are not walking with him. When you're caught up working, doing everything, following the instruction, being so legalistic about it, you cannot be full of joy. We're going somewhere. Now, if maybe he said it to only the church in Philippi, you would say, maybe this church, there's one problem he didn't want to, you know, tap into and tell the whole world about. That's why he's telling them, be full of joy. He said the very same thing to the church in Thessalonica. So go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. This is one of the shortest verses in Scripture. After the one in John chapter 11 where it says Jesus wept, this is the next shortest. In the King James, it says, rejoice evermore. But in the New Living Translation, it says, always, somebody say always, be joyful. So, this church here is a church that you will learn a whole lot from. In my search, they said this was an exemplary church. Amen? So, these were not just a bunch of carnal Christians, you know. They knew what they were doing in Christ. Matter of fact, in the intro, the Bible talks about Paul attesting to, you know, their work of faith, their labor of love, you know, and all of that in chapter 1. But here, he's now telling them, this is the last chapter in 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5 is the last chapter. So when you're wrapping up your letter, you're now, you know, giving your final points. And the key instruction he gave again is always be joyful. That word joyful there is also the same root word as the rejoice we saw there. And the word joyful can also mean full of joy, right? So we can also say here, he's saying, always be full of joy. That means it is possible that you can carry on and not be full of joy. So the question is, if he is insisting on this, it means whatever you have or whatever they had is really not the joy he's talking about. Because if they were full of joy, he won't be, you know, passing this instruction. You won't tell me to always wear clothes when you know I always wear clothes. Right? You will be telling me something that I do not do, I do not have, or I don't have enough of. Right? So always be full of joy simply means, and listen, well, you are trying, but there's something you are missing. In all you are doing, you need this to make it to the end. Always be full of joy. So what is the source of this joy? Where does this joy come from? If we are walking by faith, we are doing labor of love, we are raising the dead, we are doing all of that, how come you're still telling us to be full of joy? Where does this joy come from? Because it doesn't just come like that. Something has to happen for it to manifest in your life. And the search for this joy is the reason why we have, or the lack of this joy is the reason why you have what we call burnout in the kingdom. You have a lot of burnout, you have a lot of depression, a lot of sadness, a lot of frustration in the kingdom. Remember, he was writing this to the children of God, not to the people in the world. The people of the world do not have access to this joy we are talking about. We all, the people in the world and we in the church, we all have access to something called happiness. And happiness is, according to some preacher in my course of study, he said, happiness is what he considers to be contingent joy. That means that that joy, that version of joy, is the one that is dependent on something outside of you happening. So it means typical example, a woman gives birth. What do they call that baby? The bundle of joy, right? It triggers some kind of excitement, especially when you've waited so long to have that baby. There's so much, in fact, it's so, if everybody's so happy, oh my goodness, you're celebrating that moment. But that joy doesn't last. It's very transient, very fleeting. It fades away really quick. It can come all of a sudden and disappear all of a sudden. Take, for instance, the woman gives birth to a baby. God forbid. She gives birth to a baby, and some of us may have seen a movie like this or even seen something like this. She gives birth to a baby, and then while they are celebrating, they come in and tell her, your husband on his way coming here had an accident, and he didn't make it. Instantly, the joy is gone. Right? If that woman begins to laugh and celebrate, either she has lost her mind or she needs to be investigated. Right? Because it is not normal for you to be celebrating the father of your child dying suddenly. It's not that the man was running away. He was coming to see you. Now, maybe if he was running away, you know, there was a time in Nigeria where it was so crazy that season. You know, it was really tough. And you see these people who were just struggling, and then all of a sudden, they give birth, and guess what they have? 3 at once. 4 at once. And then you're looking, the husband that was at the reception waiting all along, and the news filters out that, there are 3. Before you even give birth to the last one, he's gone. He is gone. There is no way you're going to find that man. He has crossed the border. He's gone. He's over. That's why you begin to see them on one program in Nigeria called Newsline or whatever. And then they begin to announce, please, send in your support. I need to get back to my message, please. So that's the reason. So that joy fades away. We all have that kind of happiness. You know, you're happy. In fact, we say happy birthday. You celebrate your birthday. It doesn't matter if you call it, you know, birthday month. At some point, you will stop celebrating that thing and keep moving with your life. All right? You can't go around and be saying, hey, you know, it was my birthday yesterday, you know. Are you not still happy for me? Please, move on. We have things to deal with. You know, we're happy for you. We've celebrated it. Let's move on. There are issues we need to deal with. You know? So even if you buy a new car, it's going to be old tomorrow. The worst part, I mean, the one that, you know, really hurts me for Apple users. You know, you've not even gotten the latest one. The new one is being announced. You know, so it's like, oh my goodness, come on. Can you just give us an opportunity to feel like, you know, we got the latest, you know, and let us enjoy it for like a year or two before you bring something out? In 6 months, they brought out another. Come on now. So they don't even give you a chance to feel that happiness for too long. It is very fleeting. It fades real quick. So you cannot say you are happy always. Matter of fact, you may have heard some people say, you know, maybe they're having a good time, they're having a wonderful time, and then you hear this statement, I wish this moment can last forever. Right? You will never hear somebody who is going through the valley of the shadow of death, going through the worst time of their life, saying, oh, I wish this moment could last forever. No. No way. Matter of fact, the moment they come out of that valley, the celebration, in fact, they will mark it in their calendar, mark it and say, listen, we will celebrate this day for the rest of our lives. Amen? So it is not happiness that the Bible is talking about. Happiness is good. It will be triggered naturally. But that is not what the Bible is talking about. This joy, the phrase I heard sometime, they said, joy is an inside job. So it has to do with you on the inside, not anything happening on the outside of you. It is not regulated by your environment or circumstances. Whether things are good or bad, that joy is there. But we don't always have it. We all don't have it. People are caught up in vices today and things that they should not be involved in because they are looking for this joy. Most of the addictions and most of the things people dabble into is because they are looking to fill that void, that get, have that joy, have that feeling. You see somebody who is caught up in alcoholism, it is, when you check it at the root of it, they have no joy. They are trying to forget something. They are trying to go to their happy place, so to speak. People doing drugs, you know, it might be out of peer pressure, but at the end, when you check it, they have no joy. Shopaholics, people who shop a lot. Marriages have been destroyed because people just found joy in shopping. And it's so sad because now you can do it online. Before, you have to get out of your house. Do that journey. Now it's online. They have several tabs open. Just shopping. If the shopping channel is not doing it for you, you go online and do something. You are buying. When they get that new shoe, the excitement, oh my God. You won't know until you encounter those kind of people. Just a couple of years ago when I was in Nigeria, a woman was, Nigerians will know this, let them know here there's an event that requires a new bag and shoe. Oh my goodness. All right, new purse, I don't know what they call it, or clutch bag. Nigerians will rush and buy. They'll get a new headgear and all of that. This woman was so addicted to buying this stuff, trying to show off on social media, trying to show that she's a part of it, trying to feel relevant. She just doesn't have that joy. The joy is not in there, so she needs these things to make herself feel happy. Because if she doesn't buy it, she's going to be the saddest person on the planet. And this woman took the money to pay the fees for the school of her children. And we're not talking about small money. These are private schools. The money the husband gave her to pay for the fees, she used it to buy the new bag and shoe. Money for two children. I don't know if that marriage survived it. I don't know if that marriage survived it. Because the man has planned and, you know, worked so hard, gathered this money together. I say, go and pay. And then you find out one day, and you didn't even tell the man. You find out one day that your children are not going to school. What is going on here? I'm sorry, I bought a pair of purse and a bag, matching purse and bag. Something that you won't wear more than once, and then everybody will say, ah, you wore that before. Wait, how much is your money inside this shoe that I bought that you're saying I wore it before? Please, let me know so that I can count it and give it back to you so I can wear it as much as I want. Right? So you have no joy. Why? The shoe and bag is not doing it. The drugs, they're not doing it. All of the addictions and all of the vices we get, it's not doing it for us. You go to rehab, you come back out, and you're caught up in it because we're just dealing with symptoms. At the root of it is something. And so I want us to go, and before we go there, in Galatians chapter 5, time is flying so quickly, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. I was talking about burnout, and in the course of my study, I found out that these are scary statistics, so I'm not going to give you all the details. But because you know that when you talk about these things, you think people who serve at the pulpit, you know, people, ministers, and all that, that they are exempt. No. When I checked this, I understood why the Lord actually wanted me to minister this. Current statistics shows that about 1,500 ministers come to every month. 1,500 ministers either quit or come to the verge of quitting. Every month. Why? Because of burnout. They are depressed. They don't feel loved. They don't feel... they just come to a point where they just hit a brick wall. They can't do it anymore. What is at the root of that? The Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 5 verse 22... It says, in a New Living Translation, it says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Number one, love. Number two, joy. It is the Holy Spirit that produces this fruit. So it doesn't matter what you do or try to do, you cannot have this joy that Apostle Paul is talking about without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that produces joy on the inside of you. That is why it's an inside job. So tell me how you can succeed in this Christian race. You can succeed in doing the work of God without the Holy Spirit. We talk about the Holy Spirit in terms of demonstrating his power and all of that. You can raise the dead and be depressed. You can be moving in the power of God, see miracles, and when you be happy and excited about that, but you come back home and you just want to take your own life. We've seen there was a particular year where almost every week I had to stop Googling, you know, and doing searches. I'm like, what is going on here? Ministers just taking their own lives. And now ever since the COVID hit and all of that, mental health diseases just increased. Depression increased. Sadness increased. Now, even your therapist needs therapy. Seriously. Now, they're putting out paper, giving instructions to therapists. Hey, listen. Be careful. Because it has become overwhelming. It is too much for them. They can do all they need to do, you know, to stay away from that edge, but it's too much effort. Yes, in the natural, do what you need to do to avoid slipping into depression and all of that. But listen, the most sustainable way is by being full of the Holy Spirit. When you are full of the Holy Spirit, you will be full of joy. When you are full of the Holy Spirit, you will be full of joy. Because the more you walk, we heard last week that, you know, walking with the Holy Spirit is by, you know, walking via him controlling you and leading you. The more he leads you, the more he produces that fruit of joy. So it is impossible for you to be full of the Holy Spirit and experience burnout. You may not agree with me, but I have not seen anybody that living today that has been through the same thing Apostle Paul went through. And yet, in his darkest time, locked up in jail, he's telling people outside, always be full of joy. What we call persecution today is a joke to the early church. Let us look at Romans chapter 14, verse 17. This is how important this is. The New Living Translation says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink." Stop dealing with symptoms. Stop dealing with irrelevant matters. It says, "But of living a life of goodness and peace and joy." Where? In the Holy Ghost. Not joy in the fact that you have a full church. Not joy in the fact that your bank account is fat. No, 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 no. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Because when that account comes down, your joy goes. If the membership dwindles, you begin to, you know, you become afraid. Matter of fact, if the membership increases and the income does not increase, you become fearful. You become sad. That is the reason why a lot of believers get involved in, you know, looking for the new revelation, looking for the new shiny thing they need to get to latch onto, you know, just to feel that thing. It doesn't come from all these, you know, 1 minute videos you see online. No, 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 no. What you need is the joy of the Holy Ghost. And you cannot get it because you are showing up to church always. Praise God, you are coming. But it has to be an active walk with the Holy Spirit. Being full of him. In the International Standard Version of that same scripture, Romans 14 verse 17, it says, for God's kingdom does not consist of food and drink, but of righteousness, peace, and joy produced by the Holy Spirit. The easy to read version says, in God's kingdom, what we eat and drink is not important. What we eat and drink is not important. Here is what is important. A right way of life, peace, and joy, all from the Holy Spirit. All from the Holy Spirit. Not by might, not by power, not by your intellect, but by the Holy Spirit. You're not doing it for show. You're not faking it. You're not just trying to please, you know, the believers around you and trying to look good. Hear me. You cannot fake not having joy for too long. You can fake being faithful. But you see joy? Once joy goes, that is the reason why you ask people what is wrong. Because they're not joyful. You don't ask somebody what is wrong because they don't have faith. No. What is wrong? Why? They don't have joy. That is the first evidence. And so I can tell you, somebody who is perpetually in a state where they don't have joy, check it, they're not full of the Holy Ghost. I don't care what level of ministry I'm operating in. I don't care how long you have been serving the Lord. If you are not full of joy, it simply means you're not full of the Holy Spirit. Because that is the fruit he produces. And hear me, the reason why we do not have this joy is because we have lost hope. Hope is gone. So where there is a sense of hopelessness, joy dissipates, your faith. The Bible says in the book of Psalms chapter 42, I believe, yeah, that's what it is. Psalm chapter 42 verse 11. And I'm just going to throw in a few words in there. He says, why am I discouraged? In the King James, it says, why so downcast, O my soul, right? But it says, here it says, why am I discouraged? This is a man of God. So don't begin to beat yourself up and feel like being denial that I can't be denied. I can't, you know, confessing the word. Listen, when you finish confessing, you will face the truth of the matter and deal with it. Amen? Why am I discouraged? Other translations say, why am I depressed? Why am I troubled? Why am I down in the dumps? Why is my heart sad? He says, I will put my hope in God. He didn't say, I will buy a new shoe. I will get a new golden crown. I will take over a new kingdom. I will build the Lord a new temple. No. He said, I will put my hope in God. When that hope is restored, he said, I will praise him again, my Savior, my God. When hope is gone, joy dissipates. When hope is restored, joy is restored. And that hope is the presence of the Holy Spirit in you. The Bible says in the book of John chapter 16, that the Holy Spirit will remind you of the things that I've said. He will guide you into all truth. The word of God is the thing that produces hope. When you hear the word of God, hope begins to rise on the inside of you. You begin to hear the promises of God. Begin to know that, listen, the Bible says, you know, do not be dismayed. Do not be afraid, you know. Don't be discouraged. For the Lord thy God is with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For the Lord is with me. The rod and that staff, they comfort me. You know that God is with you. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, I can do all things even when you are in the natural, it doesn't look possible. You begin, the Holy Spirit, that is what the Holy Spirit is doing for you. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, He begins to remind you of the promises of God. Begin to remind you of what He has said before. Amen. He will remind you that, listen, your God is not a man that He should lie. There is no definition against you. No enchantment. Then you begin to see boldness. Confidence begin to be restored. And all of a sudden you find yourself dancing. Praising. Hear me? Somebody who is full of the Holy Ghost, you pray in the Spirit long enough, you won't even know when you begin to shout and celebrate and praise God. It infuses joy on the inside of you. People of God, we need to come to the point where we are full of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we will be susceptible to depression. What the world is doing today, what is happening out there today, we deal with these things with kids' gloves. We think that, you know, and I've been in the kingdom. The Bible says, take heed lest you fall. Because gradually, you know, you hear this bad news here. You hear that bad news there. It's seeping in. It's seeping in. Before you know, you've lost focus. And all of your conversations now is now geared towards, you know, this one died. This one is happening. This pandemic is about to start. This one has not finished. What are we doing? Are we going to going back home? Are we going to wear masks again? And you are just overwhelmed with bad news. It's not like you went out looking for it. It's on your TV in your house. It's popping up on your phone. You don't need to leave home for bad news to meet you there. But you can determine what is on the inside of you, what gets in there. Hallelujah. When you are full of the Holy Spirit, you are hearing all of these things. And you know that, yes, your hope is in God. My confidence is in the Lord my God. I shall not fear what the enemy is doing. Hallelujah. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 15 verse 13, talking about hope, he says, I pray that God, the source of hope, Romans 15, 13, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident what? Hope. The Holy Spirit in you will cause you to overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what it's saying. Amen? You overflow with confident hope. When hope is restored, joy is restored. There is no hopeless person anywhere that has joy. So it is important that we are full of the Holy Spirit at all times. We are led by Him. It is no joke. If the people who are leading are struggling without the Holy Spirit, if Jesus Himself needed to be full of the Holy Spirit, if He had to give the instruction to the disciples, say, hey, listen, don't even try to go anywhere or do anything in my name until you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Sir, ma, you need the Holy Spirit. Now more than ever before. Rick Warren said in defining joy, he says, joy is the settled assurance. Glory to God. Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control. Woo! Glory to God. That God is in control of all the details of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right. And the determined chance or choice to praise God in every situation. I will read it again. He said, joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. I have no fear. I am very confident. He said, the quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right. And the determined choice to praise God in every situation. You are determined to praise God in every situation. You are full of joy. Why? Because your hope is in God. The Holy Spirit on the inside produces this joy. It is founded on your hope being in God. Christ in you. The hope of glory. You have no fear what tomorrow brings. It doesn't matter whether you are in a tunnel where you cannot even see the light at the end of it. Your confidence is in God. You are joyful. People cannot explain why you are so happy in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the fire. It's because of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. So the Holy Spirit is not just power. The Holy Spirit is not just power. My God. You know, when you know, we're hearing from our senior pastor, he talks about, you know, the wine of God is the best, right? That is evident. When somebody is drunk, you know, and under the influence, there's a friend of mine who once, you know, he's drunk. Many years ago, when we were upcoming in Christ, you know, he, every now and then, he sneaks away to go to get involved with some people. And then he drinks in celebration, in quotes, you know. And how you know that he is drunk? He may be quiet. It doesn't matter what you say, he just begins to laugh. Then you know that this guy is drunk. He's trying his best to be quiet and calm because he knows that, oh my goodness, that we, the body of Christ, are coming for him. And he just begins to laugh uncontrollably. He has no control of it. It induces some kind of joy and excitement. You walk past a bar or a pub, you hear people shouting and singing and dancing and acting. It's alcohol. And the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, don't be filled with this type of wine. The New Living Translation says it will ruin your life. Don't come under the control of that type of wine. That is not what the Bible. So all those vices, don't come under the control of it. Yes, it gives you a feeling, you know, of excitement. It will ruin your life. Rather, be controlled. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the next verse says, well, the next verse, it says, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. That is what the infilling of the Holy Spirit does. When you are full of it, you begin to sing. You begin to dance. You begin to make melody. Somebody who is not full of joy cannot be singing. Huh? Amen? Amen. Now I want to show you some things here. Because now we think being full of joy means that you're full of it and so there are no problems. Or you're full of it and it's always good times. You're full of it and so you're only full of it when things are good. When things are bad, then you need to put it. No. Let us look at where should we go? Let's go to Acts chapter 5, verse 40 to 41. Acts chapter 5, verse 40 to 41. Somebody shout hallelujah. Apostle Paul. No, not Apostle Paul. The disciples, actually. They didn't name any. The disciples went out, working miracles, demonstrating the power of God in this chapter. Doing amazing work for God. Guess what? The leaders of the day now decided, you know what? We need to lock them up. Why are you locking these people up? Because they preached the gospel. Because they worked miracles. What is the problem with preaching the gospel and working miracles? People are being healed. So you didn't do anything wrong. You actually helped the economy. Right? Because now people, instead of paying money, you know, in the hospitals, now they are healed. They can move around and do other things and be more creative. But the leaders of the day felt, you are still in our shine. How can you be preaching about Jesus here? No. And they locked them up. And they determined to kill them. Why? Because they preached the gospel. Think about that is persecution. So if you've never come to the point where they literally want to kill you because you preach the gospel, calm down. Calm down. It's not that serious. Amen? And so the Bible says here in verse 40, it says, the others accepted his advice. So, you know, somebody rose up in their midst and said, listen, don't kill these people. You know, if it's of God, it will last. If it's not of God, it will naturally just die a natural death, right? You know, that's so just leave these people. If it's just a fad, just a wave, you know, it will go away. But don't kill them. Don't go and start a riot. And the Bible says the others, you know, other people in the council now, you know, accepted his advice. They called in the apostles and had them flogged. Think about it. You went to preach the gospel. You are excited. Oh my goodness. And listen, in this chapter, the Bible says that people brought out, you know, their sick ones, you know, their infirmed ones to the roadside so that, you know, Peter's shadow can cast on them and they will be healed. That is the kind of miracles that was happening in this chapter. Take your time and go read it at home. So imagine coming out of this power crusade and they lock you up, about to kill you. And when they agreed to release you, they now flogged you publicly for healing the sick. And he said, then they ordered them never again to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. Verse 41, look at what happened. The apostles left the high council rejoicing, full of joy, that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Christ. Amen. That is not happiness. If it was natural, trust Peter to pull out a knife and cut somebody's ears. But he was full of the Holy Spirit at this time. Look at another incident. In Acts chapter 13, verse 48 to 52. I'm going to move quickly here right now. My time is running out. Acts chapter 13, verse 48 to 52, the Bible says there, when the Gentiles, this was another crusade by Paul and Barnabas. And then they decided to throw them out of the area. Once again, persecution. When the Gentiles heard this, they were very glad and thanked the Lord for the Gentiles are the people they went to minister to, you know. And they were glad and thanked the Lord for this message. And all who were chosen for eternal life became believers. So the Lord's message spread throughout the region. Then the Jews stirred up the influential religious women and the leaders of the city. And they incited a mob against Paul and Barnabas and ran them out of town. For they shook the dust. So they shook the dust from their feet as a sign of rejection and went to the town of Iconium. Verse 52 is where I'm going. The Bible says, and the believers, these Gentiles, were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Another translation puts it this way. In Common English Bible, I love the way he put it in a Common English Bible. It says, because of the abundant presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Because, not in the lives of the apostles, in the life of the people, the new converts. Because of the abundant presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives, the disciples were overflowing with joy. Because of the abundant presence. So the more of the Holy Spirit you have on the inside of you, the more it bubbles out. the more it begins to flow out. People around you will notice that there's something different about you. We are talking about inflation and you are happy. We are talking about gas prices, you are happy. What is wrong with this person? You say, I'm not a part of this. This is not part of my system. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was talking to somebody recently and the person was, you know, having problems with the relationships she was keeping. These are believers, but they were just so negative. Always having sad stories, tough things to say. I was just like, and when she makes her declaration, they come at her like, you know, so what do you mean? That we are not. He said, I didn't say anything about how you are. All I'm saying is that this is how I am. This is what I have in Christ. You know, this is what the Lord has made available to me. If it's not the revelation to you, it's not my business. I am not responsible for how you walk with the Holy Spirit. It is an inside job. But first, you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is the first step. You don't look, you don't put the cart before the horse. You don't start looking for joy when you don't have the Holy Spirit. You must be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we've carried on for too long without the Holy Spirit. I'm going to wrap up right now because my time is out. Glory to God. We have this joy that is so courageous. But we need to take it a step further. This joy needs to be contagious. You remember during the COVID, one person sneezes in here right now. Nobody is saying, bless you. Nobody you will pause, first of all, and check the area. Now, if it is, even with our senior pastor, you know, if he sneezes here, it is easier for you to say, bless you. But if a tacky-looking person, somebody who is not really looking, you know, well-kept and all that, sneezes here, you will quickly adjust yourself. Like, you will look around and say, where is my mask again? Where is the sanitizer? Hallelujah. Amen? So, as easily as we can believe that, you know, just in the air, that thing is transferring. You know, people can pick up COVID. People can pick up any kind of virus, the flu and all of those things. So let our joy be contagious in the house. Let us not reinforce sadness and depression in the house. When somebody is going through, it's not the time to tell them, you know, I went through this thing of, well, it is well with you. Eh? God will help you, you know. there's a video that was making the rounds at some point. You know, somebody was narrating. He said, you know, if you are going through something, just go through it. Keep going through. Because me, I'm just coming from going through something. We must all go. I don't have any help to offer you. So, but that is not what we ought to do. We ought to be people who are transmitting this joy. You know, when somebody is going through something and they can't just pick themselves up, you know, they can't just get to the point where they can look to God and let hope be restored and let that joy be restored and begin to flow and bubble out. You can show up and trigger joy on the inside. Amen. That your presence alone can make somebody all of a sudden rise up on the inside. I know you're looking at me like, is that even possible? Let us look at our final scripture here. The book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 39. And we're going to read all the way to 45. This is Mary, after, you know, receiving an encounter with the Lord and all that, with the angel. And now she's pregnant. And she rushes off to go see Elizabeth. Verse 39 says, a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house. Now listen, she entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. What did she do? She just greeted, right? Did she hug? Did she give handshake? Did she declare a prophetic word? You know, did she say, I come in the name of the Lord? She just greeted, hello. She greeted, good afternoon. And watch the next verse. The Bible says, at the sound of Mary's greeting, sound. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child, it went past even the Elizabeth herself, went to the child in the womb. Is somebody seeing this? The child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Greeting. She just greeted. Next verse. The Bible says Elizabeth gave a glad cry. She became overwhelmed with joy. My God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, she became filled with the Holy Spirit. And the one way you know somebody's filled is that joy begins to, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Listen, please, I'm not telling you this so that you can fake it. I'm telling you this so that you can go back and determine to be filled. My God. The Bible says, and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of the Lord shall visit me? Verse 44, he says, when I heard your greeting, when I heard your hello, when I heard your good morning, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. My God, the greeting alone stirred up joy on the inside of her. Maybe she was feeling low because, you know, hey, listen, my husband is now dumb. He cannot speak because I became pregnant. Who knows what people are saying right now? Maybe they say, I've used some kind of black magic on this man. But hear me, as soon as this woman came in and said, hello, joy, joy, joy. Let us look at amplified version. Oh my God. The Amplified, we're going to read verse 41 and 44. It says, and it occurred that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, when she heard that hello, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with, and she was controlled by the Holy Spirit. Listen, she wasn't just only filled. It controlled her. It moved her. She began to prophesy. She began to sing. She was filled with joy. The Bible says in verse 44, for behold, the instant, as soon as, suddenly, the instant the sound of your salutation reached my ear at the speed of sound, as it hit my antennas, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. It cannot be interfered with. This joy cannot be interrupted. Are you hearing what I'm saying? My God. We will see one more translation and then we'll close this service. The message translation says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, my God, when she heard Mary's greeting, the baby in her womb leaped. Hey, my God, the baby started to leap. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, and sang out, and she sang out. She sang out. She sang out exuberantly. She began to sing exuberantly. She could not hold back her joy. The filling of the Holy Spirit started to produce joy. Joy overflow. Joy overflow. My God. Verse 44 says, The moment the sound of your greeting entered my ears, the moment the sound of your greeting entered my ears, the baby in my womb skipped, the baby in my womb jumped, the baby in my womb skipped like a lamb, that baby was skipping with joy, unrestrained praise. Unrestricted joy. I was overflowing with the joy of the Lord. Why? Because of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Hear me? When you are full of the Holy Spirit, it affects, it infects everything around you. It affects, it infects everything on the inside of you. Why so downcast, oh my soul? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why are you feeling low? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. So when you are feeling down, when you are feeling frustrated, when you feel like nothing is working, just lift yourself up and begin to declare, Makaba Hosopa, Librehusata, Nekosata, Yeke Bahandi, Mandebru Shaka Bayada. Ikabrahaka palikato, ekapahaka palikato, makosobreheke palikata, nekosoto, ikapahaka payakata, lebrahosa, makepehekosa. What makes you think when David was going through his head, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me, cast me not away from your presence? He said, don't take your Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit, don't take it away from me. Restore to me joy. Restore to me joy. He wasn't concerned about that crown. He said, restore to me joy. He didn't say restore joy before he asked for the Holy Spirit. He knew that the source was the Holy Spirit. That is why he would say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. It is my choice to be full of joy and be glad in it. Listen, it is not based on what he sees. Listen, do you know when he said that? He didn't even know what was going to happen in that day. He didn't know what was about to happen. All he knew is that it is the day the Lord has made. How does he know? The Holy Spirit told me so. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. This praise, this praise will continually be in my mouth in the good times and in the bad times. I will be full of joy in the Lord my God because I am full of the Holy Spirit. The humble shall hear and be glad. My God, you are not only full of the Holy Ghost for yourself, but when you see your sister, you can pour a little into her. Oh my God. You see your brother. Listen. And it's looking like, man, listen. I've been through a lot this week. You know, I've been bruised. I've been buffeted. I've been troubled this week. You know, I'm not giving up. But I need a little something. I need something. And then you pour a little into them, my God, and then the Spirit begins to rise on the inside, and then all of a sudden it's pouring out joy on the insides of you. You can't hold yourself back anymore. You rise up from that place of prostration in which circumstances have put you. It is by the Spirit of God. Somebody lift your hands and praise God. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. It is not from your mind. It is not from the scriptures you have learned and crammed. It is from the Spirit. Lord, we will be led by your Spirit. We will be controlled. We will be controlled by your Spirit. We choose to be filled with your Spirit at all times. We will not lean on our own understanding. We will not function based on our intellect. We want to be filled with your Spirit. And because we are full of your Spirit, we will always be joyful. We will always be joyful. Sadness is far from me. Depression is far from us. Frustration is far from us. Discouragement is far from us. Despondency is far from us. We are full of the joy of the Lord. We have the joy of the Lord. And we will not stop praising. We will not stop singing. We will not stop dancing. We will not stop celebrating the risen King. Father, we bless you. We thank you for the privilege we have to be in your presence, to hear your word. It is your spirit that makes the difference in our lives. Without your spirit, we are ordinary. Without your spirit, we are ordinary. We find our strength because of the infilling of your spirit. Because when that joy is present, then we find strength for purpose. We will find the motivation for purpose. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Through this week, Lord, we pray that we will continue through this week filled with the Holy Spirit. We will not be beat down. We will not be beat down. We will not be down in the dumps. Joy will overflow. Joy will overflow. We thank you, Father. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody give God praise. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. The menace of depression must cease. It must cease. But it is up to us. It is up to us. This joy does not come from laying on of hands. We must start walking and being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, it doesn't matter what conference you go to. It doesn't matter what meetings you see. They are good to help you renew your mind. But at the end of the day, you have to actively walk with the Holy Spirit and be filled with Him. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Amen.